The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
I did not know that that was the song that was going to be sung this morning. I want to speak this morning on a wedding day to remember, a wedding day to remember. And as we look at it, if you would please, in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 3, may I read this again for simple illustration of a truth here, where the Bible says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." On Friday, May 25th, 1984, at 6:30 p.m., Sylvia and I walked down an aisle at Trinity Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and we were united as husband and wife 30 years ago, now 30 plus a couple of days ago. And then on Friday, September the 17th, 2010, at 6 p.m., I had the privilege to unite Jonathan and Heather in marriage, and that was at the Blackford Baptist Church in Blackford, Indiana. And that was a wonderful occasion to be able to go to Indiana. There was 9 different states that was represented in that wedding, because Jonathan used to travel a lot and preach in churches, and so different ones came in from different states to honor them and the decision that they had made. Then on Friday, June 6, 2014, of course, many of you were here. Thank you for honoring our family and making it a part of your life to show honor to your pastor and to his family. We appreciate that so very much. But at 6:30 p.m. that night, had the privilege to unite Joshua and Mindy in marriage. Here in the Bible, you'll see the word wedding is mentioned 7 times in the Bible. All of the times the word wedding is mentioned, it's mentioned in the New Testament. You don't see it mentioned in the Old Testament at all, only in the New Testament. And here what Jesus is doing, Jesus is comparing that which is a wedding to heaven. And we'll see how he lays it out. A wedding is a beautiful time. It's a time where 2 people come together in holy matrimony. It's a time where they dedicate themselves by taking vows before their friends and their relatives and before God to come together and to stay together. The Bible teaches, of course, that you ought to stay together till death do you part. And that's a part of the vows, of course, that we lead people to be able to respond to. In the book of Matthew chapter 22, you'll see that there's several things that are very noteworthy. You'll see that here the Bible says in verse 1, Jesus answered and spake a parable. It says, answered unto them again by parables and said. Well, a parable is an earthly story. Points to a heavenly truth or a Bible truth. And here's what we see. And by the way, you'll see, of course, there was the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was a real live human. He was somebody that lived and breathed. You see the story, of course, of the rich man, real live human, lived and breathed. But you see a lot of truth, a lot of spiritual things in those stories. And Luke, or book of Matthew 22, and in verse 2, the Bible says, "And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king." So he says, the kingdom of heaven. So what he's doing is he's about to compare the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. There's no better uniting than that which is uniting the groom, picture of Christ, with the bride, a picture of the church, and they come together in a perfect match. The bride, of course, is brought down the aisle by the father. The father guides her into the presence of the groom, and then, of course, the bride-to-be still has a right. Matter of fact, I told Mindy, I said, it's not too late. You can still get out of it. You don't have to say, I do. You could say no. Even in the marriage ceremony, I told Josh right before, he was all nervous, and I'm telling you, very nervous. And so I went back. I heard he was nervous. And so I went back with him and Jared and some of the other guys. And we met in the choir ready room. And he was shaken. I mean, he was just shaken. His back was already sweaty. And his hands were very moist. And we talked. And of course, we took some just different type of funny pictures back there just for him and I to enjoy as a father and a son would. And then I said, yeah, I pretend I was praying with him. He said, no, Dad, let's not pretend on this one. He said, let's make this one real. And so I bowed my head and I prayed with him that God would be able to still his nerves. Now, wait a minute, watch this if you will. So Jesus is comparing this. Jesus compares a wedding to that which is heaven. Here's what you see about the wedding. Look at it. We're going to do some Bible research here. Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 3, the Bible says, and he sent forth his son to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now, you understand there's a lot of preparation. This was just not something done casual. There's a lot of preparation that goes into a wedding. There's a lot of different things that has to be done in a wedding. There's the preparing of the invitations. That in itself is a great chore. There's the sacrifice of all the energy and all the money and all the time and all the human instrumentality that is involved in doing a wedding. All the decorations, all the planning to be able to get the decorations, all the putting up of the decorations and then moving them and then re-putting them up and then moving them and then re-putting them up. And there's just a lot to it. All the time of planning out, of course, the meal and stuff like that. For those, it's a part of the rehearsal dinner. All the time, if you would please, planning out the day of the wedding. Girls are going, and I know my wife and daughter went out, and of course, there's the hair time where they get their hair done, and there's making sure that everything is proper and everything is right. And there's a lot of preparation that goes into making sure that that day of sacrifice and that day of remembrance is going to be one that is well remembered for many, many years to come. And by the way, that's why I don't think it's good for young people just to throw it away. I think you ought to try to stay on the course of walking down the marriage aisle just as pure as the driven snow. I remember when Mrs. Wells and I got married, I was so excited. I never kissed Mrs. Wells until the day of our wedding, and I was waiting at the front, and I was scared. We had several hundred people that came to the wedding that day, and I'd saved the kiss for that day. We had dated for a little over 2 years, and I never held her hand. I respect her mom that's here. I respect her dad, and I wanted to respect her. I didn't think it was right that I gave her a kiss or I held her hand until the dad gave her away. I didn't want to steal her from her daddy. And so I remember waiting in the front, and boy, I was so anxious, never kissed her before, and I was so anxious, never held her hand before, and boy, and I was so nervous. I mean, here she is, she's walking down the aisle, and you know, they play that music. Why they play it so loud, I don't know. Maybe it's to drown out the nervousness of everybody participating in the room. I'm not really sure about that. But you know, they play that wedding march. And have you ever noticed? It's always loud. You can't play it soft. There's just no way. You can't do it. And so they were playing that wedding march, and it was so loud, you know. And here I'm standing in the front, and I'm waiting, and she takes forever to walk down the aisle, you know. Now, we train, you know. Mrs. Crutcher helped me, and of course, is doing a great job, and she helped to coordinate some things and stuff like that, and when the kids are supposed to come in, or the adults, rather, are supposed to come in and stuff like that. And you know, and we tell them, take your time walking down the aisle. It's a rememberable experience. You'll never forget it. Take your time walking down the aisle. Well, I think Mrs. Wells had that down pat. You know, so she's taking her time walking down the aisle. I'm waiting. It seems like 10 days or 20 days are going by. And my heart is pulsating inside of my chest. And I'm telling you, sometimes when I drink a lot of coffee and I get that caffeine in me, man, my heart just boop, 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 boop. That day I didn't have any coffee, didn't need it. My heart was just rapidly beating through my chest, hands are sweaty, mouth is dry, eyes getting ready to float in the backside of my sockets. I'm sweating, you know, and it was a nice and cool environment that was there. But I'm saying there takes a lot of preparation. It takes a lot of preparation that goes into that day. Here's what you see. The invitations here, the Bible teaches, was sent out. Now, by the way, we're talking about, comparatively speaking, to that which is heaven. You know, when we send out soul winners, we have, I think, about 170-some or so that would go out on a weekly basis, and that's during the regular year. And I know sometimes during the summertime it'd dip some with people on vacations and all that stuff. But, you know, that's exciting to see people going out and giving out invitations to be able to come to heaven, to be able to understand their need of Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation I have succored thee." It says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And so what takes place is all the invitations are made. All right? And he said, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give out those invitations." That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite people to come. No doubt they had an invitation list. No doubt there was people that were relatives. No doubt there was people that was friends. No doubt there was people that was business associates. No doubt there was people that was neighbors. No doubt there was people that lived in far towns away, maybe distant places away, and they received the special invitation to be able to come to the wedding. Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 3, the Bible says he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Can you imagine how mama felt? Can you imagine how she felt? You know, most ladies are very secure when it comes to an environment. They find their security in their emotional surroundings. Can you imagine now there comes time for the son to be married, and all of a sudden now those that were bidden did not come. They refused to come. Can you imagine the emotional stress that the mother went through? You know, most of the time when a son goes through stuff, it's mama that takes it personal. Most of the time when a daughter goes through stuff, it's mama that takes it personal. They begin to take on the offenses of a son, the offenses of a daughter, or whatever. That's nature. That's mama being mama. You can't expect any more. You can't expect any less. That's the way God created them. Okay? Somebody attacks me or something like that, my mother-in-law gets the shotgun and goes hunting. Okay? I mean, that's just the way it is. Okay? And so here's what we understand. We understand the invitations were sent out. That's an understanding. We understand also that the providing of those invitations was very, very important. We had 4 graduations here. We had a kindergarten graduation. We had an academy graduation. We had a homeschool graduation. And we had a college graduation. By the time we got through all the graduations, I was graduated out. I mean, it was just one graduation after another one, just prior to that, moving into the auditorium, just right after the graduations, a marriage that we had to do. And so I've been a little bit busy. And did you know, with all these things, each one of those are isolated incidences that takes a lot of work, takes a lot of concentration, takes a lot of preparation, takes a lot of involvement, takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of finances. Now, can I say, here they are, they're not dealing with 4 graduations and the remodel of the auditorium. Here, what is happening here, they're dealing with just one wedding. But can I tell you, there's emotional involvement there. So much the so that all of a sudden when the Bible says that they would not come, and to me, that's amazing. That's amazing. Why would you not want to participate in a delightful evening? Why would you not want to participate in something that meant so much to someone else? You know, what would hold somebody back from such a great occasion? Now watch this, but here's what happened. They said, "Man, I'm not coming. I'm not coming. Now, wait a minute. This is compared to heaven. We go out soul winning, and we go out, we give invitations, gospel invitations that tell somebody how to be saved. Somebody's praying for them. Somebody wants them saved. Somebody wants them to go to heaven. There's a neighbor, maybe a relative, that wants them to be saved. And we go out, we give a gospel invitation. Two gentlemen stand. We go out, we give a gospel invitation. Man, when we go out and somebody receives it, wow, we feel good. Woo! Feels good when somebody gets saved. You know why? Because we know according to the Bible that when they take their last breath, now their next breath will be in heaven. Who won one to rejoice on that? There's sometimes, however, you go to a door and they reject Jesus Christ. Man, you go, you knock on the door, you do the same thing that you did with the gentleman prior. You put your smile on, you give it your best effort, you try to be spirit-filled, you try to have all the wisdom of God that a person could possibly possess, you give it your energy, you give it your time, you take the time to drive there, you take the time to dress up, to look sharp, to be what you ought to be, you go to one guy, he receives, you go to another guy, and he simply rejects. It kind of hurts a little bit. Now, you ought not take it personal. And normally you don't hurt if you're right with God, by the way. You don't hurt for you. You hurt for them. Normally you won't take up an offense because somebody doesn't receive the invitation. You just think, man, did they miss it? Man, did they miss it? Did they miss it? Did they miss it? Okay, thank you, be seated. Watch this. Okay, here we go. So statement number one, you see that Jesus compares a wedding to heaven. It's compared to heaven. Statement number two, he sends out, if you would please, the invitations. The invitations are sent out. Boy, thank God that we're a soul winning church. Thank God that we care about others. We give out the gospel. We go out. That will never change. We'll always give out the gospel. We'll always run buses. We'll always expand the Sunday schools. We'll always preach the truth. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. And so here's what happens. The invitations were sent out. Statement number two. Secondly, you see, the second invitations were sent out. All of a sudden, the king sends the invitations out, and nobody receives them. Here's what they say. I am not coming. So here's what he does. He sends out the invitations a second time. Hey, maybe it was a glitch in the Jewish mail distributors. Maybe the Jewish mail post office, if you would please, didn't do their job. All right, here's what happens. Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 4, the Bible says, again, he sent forth other servants saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. What's he doing? He's saying, look, it's not just a wedding. Man, you're going to eat. You're going to eat. You're going to get to come and eat. You don't just have to come and sit. We're going to feed your face. He says, behold, I prepared my dinner. He says, my oxen and my fatlings are killed. He said, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Hey, by the way, in Jesus Christ, all things are made ready. You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. You don't have to be good to go to heaven. You don't have to try and keep one of the seven sacraments to go to heaven. You don't have to try and keep one of the Ten Commandments to go to heaven. It is all made ready. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Here's what the Bible teaches here. The Bible says that he sent out the invitations a second time. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, and they made light of it. What do you mean? They invited me twice to their graduation. They ought to know I'm not coming. Well, they invited me twice to a wedding. They made light of it. Hey, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and they made light of it and went their ways. Hey, come on, let's do something different. Let's go shopping. Let's do something. went their ways, it says, one to his farm and the other to his merchandise. So one went to the farm, the other went out to sell merchandise. The Bible says in verse 6, look at it, and it says, and the remnant took his servants, listen to what it says, and entreated them spitefully and slew them. So there was a few that got together and said, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to send back a message. We're not only not going to come, we're going to slay the guys. We're going to kill the guys that gave us the invitation. By the way, how many martyrs are there around the world that went out and all they did to a village somewhere, in a country town somewhere, they gave the gospel and they killed them. They killed them. I have a missionary friend of mine that's in Africa, and he said, preacher, he said, I went into the village and I preached. The next day I sent out Bibles. They got saved. He said, great revival took place. They got saved. Village about 120 people got saved. He said, the village chief got saved. He said, so the next day I sent for Bibles. I was going to send Bibles over to the village. He said, had my men come together, got the Bibles, sent them out to the village. The men came back with the Bibles. He said, why'd you bring the Bibles back? I sent you there with the Bibles. Why'd you bring the Bibles back? They were sad, tears coming down their face, said, they're gone. He said, what do you mean they're gone? He said, the whole village has been slaughtered. They're all dead. He said, what do you mean they're all dead? I just led them to Christ yesterday. Great revival. People got saved. He said, well, the Muslims heard they got saved, don't want Christianity, came in, slaughtered every single one of them. Now, wait a minute. Here's what takes place. There are some people out there that despite the gospel of Christ so much, there are countries out there that says, hey, you can come and you can talk about Islam. You can talk about any other type of religion that you want to. But don't you name the name of Christ. Oh, wait a minute. And so they go out, they give out the invitation. As they give out the invitation, those that did not receive it the first time said, hey, we're going to send back an evil message. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to tear it up, spit on it, throw it down, stomp on it in the dirt, and we're going to take your blood. That's what they did. The Bible teaches here, Jesus compares a wedding to heaven. Statement number 2, sends out invitations. Statement number 3, he sends out the invitations a second time. Statement number 4, the more dogmatic a person rejects God's will, the greater the punishment. The greater the punishment. Here's what the Bible says in verse 7. Look at your Bible. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 7. The Bible says, and the king heard thereof and was wroth. Now, by the way, when they just rejected, stand up. When they just rejected the invitation, king wasn't wroth. It was when they did his servants harm. When they tried to harm, if you would please, what was going on that the king got wroth. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. The Bible says, and the king heard thereof and was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their cities. Said, here's what happened. So all of a sudden, by the way, are you listening to me? When somebody rejects the will of God, what happens is there's more judgment that comes. Now, why? Simply because God's will is the most important thing you could ever do in your life. Hey, God said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God wants everybody to be saved. Wait, watch this. Here we go. You ready? Stand up again, Brother Jonathan. I go to somebody, give them the gospel. They say no. Somebody else goes to that person, gives them the gospel, and they brush it off. Somebody else goes to that person, gives them the gospel, and they brush it off. Now, you tell me, first time it was brushed off, according to your Bible that you just read in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, the king was not wroth. Is that right? Here's what he did. He sent out somebody else to give the gospel. They brushed it off. Is that right? All right. So that shows me that when a person rejects Jesus Christ, there's a greater punishment the more they reject him. I believe there's degrees of fire in hell. Person takes and they reject Jesus Christ one time. Hey, we're going to keep going. But we're going to keep... Hey, you're that way with your friends. Got somebody that's a public school friend. Got somebody that goes to a secular college. You want them to get saved. What do? You do the best you can to give them the gospel. They reject it. What do again? You do the best you can to give them the gospel. What do again? You give the best you can by giving them the gospel. When I got saved and I received Christ as my Savior and I gave my parents the gospel and they rejected, I didn't stop. Gave it to them again. I didn't stop. Gave it to them again. I did not stop. Gave it to them again. Did not stop. Gave it to them again. Did not stop. Took years for mom to get saved. Years after that, dad got saved. But if I would have stopped, they never would have received Christ. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. So Jesus compares that which is a wedding to heaven. He says, man, giving an invitation is like an invitation to go to heaven. It's delightful. It's a picture of that which is Christ and his bride. It's a wonderful display of Christianity. He said, that's a good picture. And by the way, a Christian wedding you cannot beat. Wait, watch this. And so we see the invitation was sent, was rejected. Here's what happens. Goes out, gives another invitation. Not only is it rejected, but they slaughter the people that give it. Now, all of a sudden, the king gets wroth because it's touching those that he loves. The Bible says here that, of course, the king heard of it and was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. And so now there's a greater punishment because of the fact that they're making spite, not just of the invitation, but of the servants that came. Watch this, if you will. Look at chapter 22 and verse 8. The Bible says, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Were not worthy. You know, all of a sudden now, the king is saying, okay, wait a minute. I gave them two invitations. They didn't come. So I'm just marking them off. They're not even worthy to come. All right, now wait a minute. Now, I don't know about you, but it takes me a long time to get there. Because I'll keep witnessing to a person and witnessing to a person and witnessing to a person. I know we're not worthy of heaven, but I want everybody to go to heaven. I want everybody to receive the invitation. That's how come somebody says, well, preacher, we hit that street 6 months ago. Hit it again. Hit it again. But preacher, we knocked on that door a year ago. Knock on it again. But preacher, I sent somebody a gospel tract and they tore it up and they sent it back and they never received Christ. Send it again. But preacher, I invited my friend to church and they've never come. Invite them again. You just keep it up and keep it up and keep it up and keep it up. Why? Because the Bible teaches that you gave out an invitation, but it didn't stop at one. You gave another. Bible says what made them worthy, however, was their unworthy was their rejection. Somebody says, well, I'm worthy of heaven. Not worthy of heaven. You're worthy of hell. You got what you deserve today. I got what I deserve today. We'd both be burning in hell. So we're not worthy of heaven. We're worthy of hell. But the Bible teaches here that they made themselves unworthy. Why? They rejected. That's what made them unworthy. They could have received, but they made themselves unusable and unworthy because of their rejection. Verse 9, the Bible says, and go ye therefore into the highways. Here's what the king says. And it says, as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. Okay, here's what happens. Stand up, guys, if we will. Just you two. Here's what happens. Watch this. All right. So I go over, and they reject. I say, come on. Come on. Wait a minute. So I don't stop. I said, wait, I'd really like for you to come to the wedding. I'd really like for you to come to heaven. I really like that. Now, I think you guys are sharp-looking guys. I think that you need heaven. You need Jesus. Because your sharpness is not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how good you are in music. I don't care how good you are with people. It's not going to work. Just not going to work. So come on, I'm going to give you a second opportunity. Come on, second opportunity. Hello. By the way, this is like a pastor. Hey, man, I need help. Would you help me out a little bit? Would you do it? Come on. Help me with this project, would you?
I'm busy.
You're busy. Hey, help me. Would you do it?
Yes, sir.
Somebody else can do it. Hey, I'll tell you what, man. Let me show you. Let me show you how God wants a church family to serve together. You want to be a part?
No, thank
you. Can you do it?
You know what?
You know what a pastor's going to do? Just like the king did. He's going to say, okay, you can't. I'll find somebody that can. Would you come? Come on, let's go. Hey, little guy too, would you come? Wow, come on. Big guy, come here. Big guy. Wow, extra big. Okay, would you come? Here we go. Okay, here we go. Skinny guy, would you come? Good. Over here. Wow, look at this. Girl. God can use girls. Sure. Come on. Little girl. Big girl. Come here. Teenage girl. Good. Would you come? Super. How about you? Would you come? Yeah, up here. Yeah, come up here. I'm not coming to you. Okay. Hey, bald-headed men. Come on. Here you go. Watch this. Okay. So what the king does, come up here. Thank you. Be seated. Come on up here. Follow behind me, if you will. Come up here. Stand behind me. Here's what the king does. He says, look, man, I tried. I did my best. Prepared the meal. Did my best. Gave the invitation. Snubbed me. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Then what I'm going to do, I'm going to take and give it to somebody that will. You know, those that serve in the bus ministry around here are those that will. You know, those that sing in the choir around here are those that will. You know, those that take the offering around here are those that will. You know, those that play in the orchestra around here, guess what? They are those that will. You know, those that come to Sunday night church are those that will. All right? Now, wait a minute. Same thing about salvation. You go out, you give the invitation, you give it to people. They say, no, man, don't want it. Don't have time for this. Making my own way to heaven. Oh, no, I'll come back, talk to you. Let me make an appointment. I'll come back. Think on it. Love you. Going to come back and try and help you. Okay, make an appointment. Come back. I told you, sir. Just not interested. Okay, all right. Go next door. Knock on the door. 92-year-old lady answers the door. She says, wow, I've been praying for somebody to come by for months. It's about time you showed up. Would you like to come in for cookies and milk? Said, let me get my wife. Get my wife. We go in. Enjoyed spending time with Nicole yesterday. Man, that was so good. Nicole's been coming to our church and just moved here. And I enjoy going into the apartment, Mrs. Wells and I, sitting down, hearing her life story about recent years. And that, neat stuff. Okay, now wait a minute. Yeah, and so you knock on the door, somebody comes to the door and says, what do you want? I'm Pastor Wells from Parkside Baptist. Kaboom! Knock on the door again. Just wanted to see if you were the same mean person shut the door in my face a moment ago. No, I don't do that. I'll go next door, knock on the door, and say, hey, look, just out door knocking, Pastor Wells, Parkside Baptist Church. Hey, I heard about that church. Man, great things going on down at that church. Boy, thank God you guys are out everywhere. That's amazing. Come on. Hey, you want to come in? You want a glass of water? What do you want? You want a bottled water? You want Gatorade? I got some whiskey in the cabinet. I said, no, Brother Craig's not with me today. Don't want that. Now, wait a minute, watch this. Here's what we understand. God will take and say, now, wait a minute. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an invitation. I'm going to give you another invitation. I'm going to keep trying to help you. I'm going to give you that invitation. Okay, that's what he wants. That's what he wants with those that are not saved. That's what he wants with church members too. All right, watch. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. Let's continue in our Bible. We're almost done. Look at Matthew 22 and in verse 8. The Bible says, and he saith to his servants, the wedding is ready. And it says, and they which were bidden were not worthy. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, go ye therefore into the highways. It says, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. He said, man, just go get them. Just go get them. Somebody says, preacher, you know, church is growing, but I don't know them all. We just go get them. Verse 10, the Bible says, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, watch it, both bad and good. Well, preacher, I don't know if so-and-so should come to the church because he's bad. Well, I don't know if so-and-so should come to the church because they're good. God says he went out and got both. Okay? The Bible says, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Listen to it, verse 11. The Bible says, and when the king came in to see the guests, look at verse 11 again. He says, he saw there a man which had not, it says, on the wedding garment. He said, man, there's one guy here, doesn't have the wedding garment on. You know, they would dress up for the weddings back then, doesn't have the wedding garment on. Not only that, look at verse 12. The Bible says, and he saith unto him, friend, how camest, it says, thou, in hither? And it says, and having not the wedding garment. And the Bible says that he was speechless, okay? And so there are some people, if you would please, that said, man, I heard about it, don't have an invitation. I like to still go check it out. There are some people, if you would please, that come to church and they're lost. No wedding garment on. They're not part of it. They're lost. But they come in because maybe they saw somebody that had a wedding garment on. I was at a birthday party recently at Castillo's, I think. And somebody came up to me and said, hey, let me tell you about my dad. I don't know who it was, but I said, let me tell you about my dad. He said, my dad, all the years my dad was coming up, he would find out where the parties were in the neighborhood. He'd just go to the parties because found out there was food. So just walk in, you know, didn't know the people, but free food. Now, it wasn't the Castillos or their relatives. It was somebody that came in off the street. That's what it was. Okay, at the party. They came to the party, weren't invited there either. And like, Brother Castillo, who is that? I don't know. You know. Okay. The wedding. Let me ask you something. Would you be willing to receive an invitation from the Lord this morning to come to Christ? Would you be willing? Can't get there by yourself, can't make up your own invitation, can't put your own wedding garment on, it's all in Christ. Would you be willing? Would you as a Christian be willing when the pastor gives you an invitation to serve, to say, hey, I'll do that. I'll take that invitation. I'll cherish it and I'll do it. Would you be willing? Or as a lost person, would you be here this morning? All of a sudden, the gospel invitation is given. As the gospel invitation is given, would you be willing to receive it? Receive it. I'm so glad I'm saved. I've got one thing going for me. I got saved when I was 18. Don't get me wrong, but I know what the other side of the track was. And I got saved out of it. Because of that, I know the grace of God is so rich. I know the mercy of God is so rich. You say, well, preacher, what if something goes wrong? I'm never going to burn in hell, and so it doesn't bother me. Because I'm saved forever. Now, can I tell you what? You can settle that this morning. You can know that you're saved forever. All you have to do, receive the invitation. That's all you have to do. When you receive the invitation, you're invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we'll see each other there. But you got to receive that invitation.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.